Yeah.
So I would just say, you know, briefly about this, that we have to accept as the starting point that we're living in the world of exploitation, which is commonly expressed in the formula, you know, for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. Or in the words of the Bhagavatam, jivo jiva shijivanam, one living being lives at the expense of another. Or more to the point, by exploiting another. So whatever it is in the world, there's some flaw, some fault. We're told that in the Gita too, in the famous sloka. What is it? I forget the Sanskrit. Jai Shri Bhakti Mahadev Maharaj Ki Jai. Says that as when you light a fire, there's some smoke. So anything you do within this world, there's a dark side to it, you could say. Whether it be your own or any other's, whatever it is. It's like sometimes the point comes up about vegetarianism, and people will sometimes say, oh, in Krishna consciousness, they're promoting vegetarianism. But to be more to the point, we're not. Guru Maharaj tells the story of when Professor Sanyal, his brother, would come and visit him at the mat, and Sanyal would take the position that we don't eat. And his brother would think, this is ridiculous. See, you're making feasts and eat. No, we don't eat here. There's no eating going on here. And his brother would be baffled and bewildered. What do you mean? You're having a big festival and feast. Saying, oh no, we honor prasadam, but we don't eat. So that's a reference to the statement in Bhagavad Gita, yagya shishta shino shante, shanto, muchante sarvakilvase. To overcome the reactions that are acquired overcome the reactions from acquiring foodstuffs, even if they're vegetarian foodstuffs, they're told it has to be done as yagya, an offering to the Supreme. And real, not that we just say that also, because anyone can say that. Or I'm doing it for a higher purpose. I'm doing it to help others. Like humanitarian activities, they seem by examining them, I mean, oh, this is a very good thing. We're helping other people. But if we're helping people remain in the world of exploitation, remain in the exploiting position, that is not help in the ultimate sense. So everything has to be thought of carefully. So whether it's this activity or any other activity, we live in the world of exploitation, where for every action there's an equal and opposite reaction. How unforgiving this formula is, and how profound it is in its reach, is not commonly understood. People think this is something they heard in the physics class in school, with some teacher going, so when I hit this table or this chair, it's, you know, something's coming back. And then they think, oh, they write that. Is that going to be on the test? You know, and then you're done with it. But how profound this notion of for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction gives one, you know, pause. It's something to be thought about very deeply. So it's not just in a gross physical sense, on a subtle level also. That includes speech. That's a type of action. There are some speech, thoughts, thinking ill thoughts. We know intuitively, we don't have to have some research scientist weigh in on this. We know intuitively that's unhealthy. It's not a good thing to think ill of another. Srila Guru Maharaj will put it in this way: by meditating on the faults of others, they appear within you as a reaction. That's also, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So, sometimes when people would mention the Srila Guru Maharaj, say in the collection of funds, to give an example, that some in the collection of these funds, maybe there was some fault. His response to that would be, then they must be 100% used in the service of Guru and Gauranga and Krishna. Otherwise, that person will have to try and digest that fault. So if implication being, if something is not used 100% in the service of Krishna and his devotees, then one is culpable in varying degrees, and one will have to digest those reactions. That's the truth of the matter. And what did you say Gurudev said about the Vaishnava? Yeah. And as a side point, there are all kinds of moral issues that have arisen in the Western world on this subject. And it's not our forum or purpose to go into that right now. But when it came to cloning, and many different things, genetic engineering, we could say in general, it's been a moral dilemma for Judeo-Christian-based doctors and scientists. Whereas they found that the Indian doctors and scientists didn't have a problem with this, because they thought, oh, we have examples of this in the Puranas, Mahabharata. So the Puranic literature has many such examples of such things, so they weren't having the same type of moral dilemma to deal with it. But still, that said, we're in the world of action and reaction. Even so-called good things draw reactions. What we call saguna plane, nirguna plane. Saguna means colored by passion, or by ignorance, passion, or goodness. Nirguna means without any tinge of mundane quality. So that is what his answer is. If it's in connection with the nirguna plane, there's no reaction. And even if it's, however well-intended, if it has no connection with the nirguna plane, it will draw a reaction. As after the Kurukshetra battle, one Brahmin named Uttanka, he thought, he found Krishna and said, you, Krishna, you're the cause of all of this, of all this death and destruction and the creation of so many widows. So I'm going to curse you And Krishna said, hold that thought, because I'm in the nirguna plane, and you're in the saguna plane. You're in the higher aspect of the saguna plane, meaning the mode, you're a Brahmin, mode of goodness, by your tapasya, your austerities, your spiritual practices, you've achieved some power, and you're about to expend that power in trying to curse me, but it won't have any effect upon me, because I'm in the nirguna plane. So before you spend all of that power that you've accumulated by your austerities and practices, think about this. Any other question? Yeah.
You know that there are two, when people come, like five people from Moscow, and a couple of them, they are from different mosques. I don't know the name of the mosque, but they do is Vatan. So I just tried to discuss it. I saw at least their house, like pictures with Shiva and Parvati and Ramadari. So I asked why they keep them at that point because they are devotees. Mm-hmm. And they say that it's okay for them because they think that all these things that are devotees of Krishna. So, and they started to explain some kind of philosophy. And I'm just not sure should they listen to it or, because it's, you know, sounds to me suspicious. So,
Yanti deva vrta devanti chin yanti pati vrta bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madza jinopi mom. I think we discussed this a little bit the other day. It's a question of emphasis. It's what is descending to us, and that's one process, and the other is ascending. We may have some idea. We look at the gods and goddesses of India, and they're charming, and on some level they're appealing to us. We can come up with some ideas about that. Or there's what is actually descending to us. In the line, spiritual line, Rupa Goswami, this look at Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidhin Vina, Aikantiki, Harer Bhakti, Utpatayaiva Kalpate. If what you're doing, your process, is not regulated by Shruti, Smriti, Purana, right, what's coming in the specific line, then Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Kalpa means imagination. Then there won't be spiritual substance there. So as I told on the Shivaratri evening, we're aspiring in the line of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So you will see in the Chaitanya Charitamritam what is the proper emphasis and the method of approach. Otherwise, we can say so many things if we cast our glance toward India, the gods and goddesses of India, the different literatures of India. And Guru Maharaj sometimes employed a formula, which he said, as connotation increases, denotation decreases. And what he means is that the more meaningful something is, the narrower the what it will be referring to. I'll give you an example. If we say, who accepts Bhagavad Gita? Raise your hand. North, south, east, and west, the hands go up. It's accepted in India by Vaishnavas of all stripes, Mayavadis, Kalam, the president of India?
Kalam.
Yeah, he's a Muslim scientist. He's reading Bhagavad Gita. In the West, so many, when the devotees would make ads previously, they would mention, you know, the American transcendentalist, Thoreau, Emerson, Schopenhauer, a big list of people who are appreciating Bhagavad Gita, north, south, east, and west. But if we increase the connotation and say, yes, but really Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Purana, then the Mayavadins, they won't accept that. Some Shankarites, some Shatas, they won't find this acceptable. You'll be left with Vaishnavas. Sri Vaishnavas, Tattva, Madhva school, different, and Gaudiyas. Then if we increase the connotation more and say, yes, the Bhagavad Gita should be understood in the light of the Bhagavatam, but the real substance of the Bhagavatam is being extracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. So the Bhagavatam should be understood in the light of Mahaprabhu's teachings. And there you will leave the Madhva line and the Sri Vaishnavas, and you'll be left with Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So, again, demonstrating Guru Maharaj's principle, as connotation increases, what is denoted decreases. So, yes, in a general sense, we can say that everyone is a servant of Krishna, right? Jiva Swarupai Krishna, everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna. But when it comes to the point of worship and how they will be worshipped, we're told to make some distinction in this line. So while being respectful, the Vaishnavas are not engaged in the worship of demigods and demigoddesses. So if we go back to the original question and say, and employ that same type of answer, we'll say, well, didn't the gopis worship Katyayani? Yes, the Braja gopis, who are the highest devotees of Krishna, they approach, in this sense, a lesser deity in a simple-hearted, jnana-shunya bhakti-like way to say, oh, we want to that Krishna will be our husband. So they want devotion to Krishna. They're not approaching for something else. So anyway, I don't have anything more to say really than what we heard from Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev, and so we're keeping our focus on the lotus feet of Guru Gauranga Radha Govinda. Srila Saraswati Thakur, who is the guru of Guru Maharaj and all other Gaudiya Math gurus, he introduced the worship of Mahaprabhu and Radha Govinda. So if we take it that he is aware of all of these things and he selected this, then we can be very confident in that. And Srila Guru Maharaj will mention that, this came up once, to give you an idea. One devotee, he thought the Sadbhuj deity would be very nice where he was. There are so many Indians there. And Shadbhuj means a six-armed form of Krishna. Sometimes we're told, shown to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, shown in some other context. Six arms. What are they? Two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, two arms of Mahaprabhu. Sometimes they say four arms, Vishnu, two arms, but different configurations. But we're taking it that it's Ramachandra, Krishna, Mahaprabhu, being shown to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, this devotee thought, well, the Indian people, they like Ramachandra. So that'll be good. We have a deity. There's Ramachandra. And some Indian people, they like Krishna. So we have Krishna, Ramachandra, and connecting with Mahaprabhu. This will be very nice. He wanted Guru Maharaj to sanction that for his temple. And Guru Maharaj, he said, but there, said, what Mahaprabhu is showing to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is that he's God. He's showing his divinity. That who was Ramachandra, who was Krishna, again, he's appeared as Mahaprabhu. Saying, but that's not showing who he is internally. He said, that's on a lower level. He's showing divinity. He said, but in the Ramananda Samvad, where Mahaprabhu reveals himself to Ramananda Roy, he's showing his actual identity. Rasaraj Mahabhav Duyekarup. That Rasaraj Krishna, it's in the famous section where Ramananda, when they first sit on the banks of the Godavari River, it's described that when Ramananda encounters Mahaprabhu, looks like the sun is sitting on the bank of the river wearing saffron garments of a sannyasi. So it looks like the sun is there dressed as a sannyasi. Then they have their discussion where Mahaprabhu is asking the questions and Ramananda is giving the answers. And Ramananda later will say, really, you're playing me like the way a musician plays an instrument. I'm making the sounds, but you're playing me in a particular way and these sounds are coming out. And it was mentioned at the very beginning of the chapter, Bhakta Meghe, Bhakti Siddhanta Chayamritani, Sancharja, Ramabhida, Bhakta Meghe. Comparing the devotee to a cloud, saying from the ocean of Bhakti Siddhanta, this cloud has, what's the word? When a cloud is generated from an ocean, and then it's raining back on the ocean. So the cloud of Ramananda, the Bhakta Meghe, Meg, appeared from the Bhakti Siddhanta ocean of Mahaprabhu's Krishna conception and then rained again in the form of these nectarine instructions. So toward the end of their discussion, Ramananda says, he notices that Mahaprabhu is not looking like a sannyasi anymore as he looks more carefully. He said, I'm seeing Krishna. And Mahaprabhu answers by saying, oh, we've heard in the Bhagavatam that Mahabhagavat devotees, great devotees, they see Krishna everywhere and in everything. So when you look at me, of course, you're also seeing Krishna. That could be the explanation. And Ramananda said, no, please, don't tease me in this way. And not that I'm just seeing Krishna. This is very extraordinary and peculiar. I see that Shama Sundar Krishna, Shama Gopa Roop, Krishna as the cowherd boy, or the flute, Shama Gopa Roop Krishna, that there's a golden girl whose effulgence is covering him. And this is bewildering to me. What is this? And at that point, Mahaprabhu said, yes, I cannot conceal myself from your loving devotional eye. Like Brahma Sangita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Velochanena, Santaksa Deva Hridayeshu Velokayanti, Yang Shama Sundarama Chintra Guna Swarupam. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Velochanena. When the eyes are anointed with Krishna praying, real love and affection for Krishna, then one can actually see the form, divine form of the Lord. So, said, I can't conceal myself from your loving eye. Rasaraj Krishna, who's rasa personified, and Mahabhav Radharani, who can extract the rasa to the unlimited degree. He said, see how they're both combined and mingle. Then Ramananda fainted, and when he reawoke, he saw there is Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is the sannyasi again. So Srila Guru Maharaj pinpoints this by saying, here, this concept, where Mahaprabhu, nowhere else does he reveal to anyone his internal identity, what he revealed to Ramananda Roy, that is the worship that is given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to his followers. So, where shall we take our direction? From up to down, and from Srila Saraswati Thakur, he's given this particular conception, or someone else gives another conception? Sado pasya sriman dritta manujakaye pranayatam vahadvi girvane girisha paramrishti prabhriti vi shabhaktevya sudham nijabhajana mudram upadisham satchetanna kme punar apidashor yashyati padam. So shabhaktevya, Mahaprabhu, he's showing how to be a devotee. Mahaprabhu is not worshipping demigods. That's not what he's training his devotees. He's personally showing how to do this with his devotees. He's not disrespecting anyone, but that is not his focal point. And what does it say here? The gods and goddesses, they're assuming human forms to have a glimpse of the beauty of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One man in Dum Dum Park, you know, he had a little daughter and they lived across, he was always inviting people over his house, I forget what his name was. But he was always inviting me, I'd go around, he'd stop me, invite me, but I never went. But one day he said, you know, I'm not going to your mat anymore. I said, oh, why is that? He said, I heard that Arati song, the Saraswat Arati. I said, what? Or it said, Shambhu Agochar. That she, this is beyond what Shiva can comprehend. I can understand that. At least he was listening. So they can't. What is beyond what Brahma, Shiva could conceive? So Guru Maharaj said, Svarna Koti Dharpa Nava Deho Varna Gauravam. Dharpa means 10 million. What is the beauty of Mahaprabhu? 10 million shining mirrors made out of gold. If you made mirrors out of gold, and sometimes we're told, molten gold. When it's gold, it's most shiny. When it's hot, you know, when it's liquid. Padma parijata ganda banditanga sorobam koti kami murchitangri rupa rasa rangaram. 10 million cupids would faint to see the beauty of Mahaprabhu Gauranga Sundara. Cupid is also a devata. Anyway, as Gopam is today, his disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, is that? So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he wanted to, and this is a good example too, he wants, he has some inspiration, this is the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. in Navadvipa. He had a vision in Srupgun, but he doesn't think, I'm Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's thinking, oh, who is the higher Vaishnava? I'll go and get the higher Vaishnava. He invites Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Maharaj, you can tell this is real or not. Maybe it's my imagination. That's real devotees thinking that way. Who am I to make these determinations? I should approach the higher devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'll bring Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And we're home. When Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj arrives there, but as we're told, he's 125 years old, has one attendant, servant, who carries him in a big basket, like the, what do you call it? Rattan? Basket, you know?
Judy.
Yes. You're calling Judy and they're calling rattan. But go for it. So in a basket, he's carrying Jagannath Das Babaji wherever he goes. Because that time, we've seen his hunchback like this. Oh, he's taking Krishna Nam, doing bhajan, which means direct, not abstract meditation, direct service in the upper world. And what happened? Jagannath Das Babaji, he's so inspired. He jumps out of that basket. He's jumping like, you know, like 1.5 meters off the ground. He's leaping in ecstasy, celebrating that this is Mahaprabhu's birthplace. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Kalyana Kalpataru that on one Ekadashi, like that Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, dancing and singing, that he was in divine ecstasy, showing the, like, all the symptoms, like asta sattvika vikar, hair standing on end, trembling, perspiration, all these different ecstatic symptoms. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the others, they're doing the kirtan, and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is in ecstasy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then he extended that to all of them. So what he was experiencing, they were all experiencing. And then they couldn't play the kartals, the drum, or sing, or anything. They just all went into a state of divine madness. That's Jagannath Das, Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Sri. What is the only thing? Gora, Bhaja, Shitar, Shesha, Vaishnava, Vigraham, Natha, Prabhu, Bande, Premadi, Vidha, meaning the best.
Old,
the oldest. But old in the sense, most senior. And Gurudev said in a similar way, when Saraswati Thakur was born in Jagannath Puri, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur invited him to see the birth of this divine child. Anything else?
Where we can get more information about?
We're not interested in information. Well, that's not the point I'm going to make. We want the mercy of these Vaishnavas. Information will not help us. So, to inquire in different ways, right? Tadvidhi pranipati.